Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at SB Nation Radio and the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Join us online at Twitter at E Radio Sports. We're going to pick up our NBA conversation as we are visiting with CNN feature writer Motez Bashara. Well, when we think about the Houston Rockets, they could be that dark horse team in the Western Conference. I mean, how deep can they go?
I think they're at least two players away because Golden State has a big four. So if you're a Houston or if you're an Oklahoma City that's really relying on one superstar, you're hoping your guys stay healthy and you're hoping one or two of the Golden State guys kind of, you know, suffer some dings along the way. And I think realistically that's what they're looking at. So I think Houston is probably a second-round exit. You know, that's kind of how it's looking for them.
You know, Motez, you had just mentioned you are in London. We are right here in Houston. And I have to say, all this success, this early success, it has been embraced by Rocket fans. And you really have a sincere appreciation for what Mike D'Antoni has been able to do offensively. I mean, they're a lot of fun to watch. Defensively, we're not really sure, you know, how sound they are. But Are you a bit surprised just how so many of these players, I mean, they have quickly embraced his system and they're executing it?
Yeah, it's I think it really says something, and I think it also, you know, we could say a similar thing about Oklahoma City. It says something when you've got one guy who you give the ball to and you say, look, it James Harden, Russell Westbrook, they have similar personalities. Interestingly, they played together too. And when you give them the ball and you finally say, look, it's been a long time coming, but this is your team now. Okay, you're going to bring the ball up the court and you're going to finish it and you're going to dictate who's getting the ball to score. And you're really going to be responsible for about at least 60% of the points, between points and assists, on the team. You know, I think it removes kind of a niggling thing with these guys when they're not sure who's the commander in chief. So I think when you anoint one guy as the leader and everyone else falls in line, I think it makes a difference. And really, it's a very similar thing for Houston and Oklahoma City. I will say, though, that fan-wise, I don't really want to see those two teams going at it in the playoffs. I think, you know, 5 or 7 games of watching those two guys bring the ball up every single time is going to drive people nuts.
All right, so we've talked about some of the teams in the Western Conference. Let's head out east. What about the Knicks? You think they can still win the conference?
They're a lot better than I thought they would be. I'm trying to keep a straight face here, but they're fun to watch. You know, that's first and foremost in Madison Square Garden. You got to keep people happy. You know, they're by far the most expensive seats in the league, and people want fun. And when you see Porzingis shooting threes, you know, the guy's 7'2", 7'3", shooting threes from the top of the key, it is unbelievable to watch. So they are a lot of fun. They're winning. I think, what are they, like fifth? Oh, no, they're third, actually, right now in the East, which is tremendous, really. You know, in the first, with a quarter of the way in already. So I'm pretty sure they're going to make the playoffs, barring some epic collapse. They do have some nice role players. I really like Brandon Jennings. Noah, when he's healthy, is good fun. He bangs it in the low block. And Derrick Rose, you know, perhaps they should consider bringing him off the bench, I think, and making Jennings a starter. And I think that would give them more consistency, because Rose is still having some niggling injuries here and there. So to keep shuffling him in and out of the starting lineup is a bit, you know, it doesn't allow for there to be a consistent flow on the offense. So he's also an instant offense kind of guy. So I think perhaps in the second half of the season they might consider bringing him off the bench if his ego will allow that.
Okay, so Matez, you talk about some of the players. I want to ask you about, let's zero in on Phil Jackson. Do you think he's going to remain with the organization beyond 2017, or could he possibly, you think he might opt out of his contract?
I think he there's a definite possibility. I'd say it's about 50-50 that he'll stay another year, and it's probably about 75-25 that he'll leave in the next year. I think what would keep him is that the team is finally shaping up, you know, three seasons in. He's also got a great coach, finally, and Jeff Hornacek, and he's finally seemed to have bailed a little bit on the triangle offense that he was trying to shove down everyone's throats for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. So that in mind, I think he might stay. You know, why not? He's getting a huge paycheck from the Knicks, I think upwards of $10 million a year. So, you know, it's also almost a part-time job for him as well. It's not like he has to travel with the team. So, you know, all that being said, I think unless the team goes sour again and the players turn on him and the fans turn on him, I think there's a decent shot that he'll stay again. I think all this ruffling of feathers with speaking about Carmelo holding the ball too long and LeBron's quote-unquote posse. I think guys are a little overly sensitive, perhaps certainly in Carmelo's case, because, you know, Carmelo's getting paid something like $23 or $25 million a year, and I get paid a lot less than that, and you should see how my editors tear apart my copy.
And you don't take a night off, do you, Motez? You don't say, I got to get some rest. You know, I need a good nap.
No, exactly. Like in the real world, you know, you get criticism, you deal with it, and
yes.
you know, you take it on board and you improve. You know, you don't whine about it and talk to the press about it and then demand sort of a one-on-one. I don't really get it. I mean, Carmelo is a ball stopper. He needs to move the ball around a little bit more. There are other guys who play more in the flow of the offense, especially Porzingis, who need the ball just as much. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you've got a veteran who's been in the league for 14 or 15 years, so he's not really going to change at this point. But, yeah, I think guys need to be a little less sensitive.
Well, offensively, you don't want that ball to get sticky. You want to move it around. But how much do you think Phil Jackson's comments impacted his relationship with Carmelo?
I don't think that they helped. I think that's for sure. They certainly didn't help matters, but apparently Carmelo went to Kobe and asked him how to deal with it, and because we know all about Phil Jackson writing about Kobe in his book and really disparaging comments where you thought there's no way these two can ever work together again, and then Phil came back, of course, and coached Kobe to another two championships. So I think Kobe learned how to ignore it, and he has thicker skin, clearly, and I think he said to him, look, he's going to talk, you better just ignore it, and hopefully Carmelo will listen to that.
Okay, we're wrapping up our time with CNN feature writer Motez Bashar tonight at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You talked about one of the surprise teams that perhaps has exceeded expectations in the Houston Rockets. What team has underachieved?
Oh, sorry, Alyssa. I knew we were going to get to Dallas at some point. Yeah. Well,
but I am proudly in studio wearing my Dallas Mavericks jersey. You got to believe,
well,
right?
you know how it goes, though. Teams need to, they're not tanking, but they're, you know, they're certainly,
God
I don't think they're
them.
That disappointed that Dirk can't play right now. They're going to get one of the top lottery picks, and they need young stud talent, you know. And so I think everybody knows that they need to kind of blow up the team and start over. And so let's see. I think that's probably what Cuban's thinking. I don't think he's massively disappointed about this season. And this season's going to be a write-off. And then they're looking to bring up some new talent and draft well. I think the bigger disappointment, to be honest, are Minnesota, who have drafted really well, who have awesome talent, but are, you know, really one of the worst teams in the league. So I'm not sure what it is. I'm not sure if it's coaching. I have a sneaking suspicion one of the culprits has got to be Ricky Rubio. He's still starting, and he just hasn't been effective. They've never won with him as a point guard. He came in with big fanfare. Obviously, he played in the Olympic last summer. He looked better for Spain than he does with the Timberwolves, and I think he probably needs a new city, a new change of pace, and I think the Timberwolves probably need to look elsewhere for a new floor leader.
Some good NBA news and notes with Motez Bashar, CNN feature writer. Where can all of our listeners connect with you across the country and check out some of your work and some of your blogs?
Sure. So Twitter, Martez B, MOTEZB. And I finally have my own website now, so MartezBashara.com.
Nice.
And I've got most of my in-depth features in there, including a recent one about social protest in sports. So please check it out and hit me up on Twitter.
Always some good stuff. Motez, thanks so much. Happy holidays, and I look forward to another conversation. Thank you.
Likewise. Thank you very much. I look forward to it, too.
You bet. Much more coming your way right here at SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, in hour number one. Stay close.